Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to look at the scripture here this morning. We're going to work from a text that is in the book of James. We're going to look at and probably mention a couple of other verses, but I want us to look in the book of James. It's if you don't know where it's at, just keep going right in your Bible. You get to Hebrews, you're getting close. This book of James, it was most theologians think that it was written by James the Just, which would be the brother of Jesus, and he was called James the Lesser. He was the first bishop in Jerusalem. I'm just giving you a little bit of history here. And so he was an extraordinary leader and respected by those in the faith. And he writes this book, and it's mostly, it's five chapters, the book of James, and it's mostly about very practical Christian living. And when I say practical, it's in the context of the theme, one of the themes that run through this letter that he writes, and that we get to glean from today, the anointed word of God to us, to instruct us, encourage us, and help us, has a lot to do with action based from your faith. Action. This book is not about Christian morals in the sense of here's a moral code, yeah, here's an idea of how to live by it, here's something philosophical, here's an option for you. You can have knowledge of the scripture and that would be good for you. He is a guy who looks at this because he talks a lot about our faith should lead us to do good works. Now, don't mistake in this. This is not in conflict to what the Apostle Paul writes. The Apostle Paul argues a lot about faith and works because they confused things for salvation. They thought if you did a bunch of good works, then you get to go to heaven. If you do more good than you do bad in your life, then that tips the scale and God goes, okay, I'll let you in. Paul says that's not how we get there. He writes that it is by God's grace or kindness that we're saved, right? Through faith. Not by works that we get to boast about how good we are. The only way to the Father in heaven, Jesus says this, is through faith in Him, through Jesus. That is how salvation comes to us. James builds off that truth by saying, now that you are saved and have faith in Christ Jesus, there should be a measure of proof in your life on the way that you live that it matches your proclamation about Jesus Christ, about God, and about the Holy Spirit that needs to match. So James, powerful, anointed leader, provides leadership to even some of the leaders in the early church. He writes a very practical letter. In other words, I'm glad you, and I'm paraphrasing, but you would find this. It's five chapters. You can read it in a short amount of time, and I encourage you to do it. Is you can know about Jesus and know about the biblical teaching, but if you don't do them, carry it out in your life, then that faith that you proclaim is dead. Amen. Dead. Like no breath in it. As in corpse. No breath. Faith without works is dead. James says. So he emphasizes not just being a hearer of God's word, but being a what? A doer of God's word. Need to hear it, need to proclaim it, but we need, with God's help, to live up to what we proclaim and what his word says to us. That is the theme, really, the overwhelming theme of the book of James. Practical Christian living, how we live with this expression of faith. It's not in the scripture, but he could have thrown it in there. The proof is in the pudding, right? The proof is in the pudding. The proof of our faith is in how we live, both the way we live in the seen and unseen, when there's an audience and when there isn't. How we live, not just on Sunday morning, but how we live the rest of Sunday and the Monday through Saturday. Not just in the daylight hours, but in the night hours. That's what he's writing about. If you are a devoted follower of Christ, then it has to show up in the way that we conduct our life. And there will be a conflict. There will be a battle for each of us. Because my flesh and my way, they are different than God's ways. Now, over time and over sincerity and grace and mercy and the help of the Holy Spirit, I have come in more and more, my life has come more and more in agreement with this. But he's not finished with me yet. And that's where all of you go, yeah, we already know that, Pastor. Yeah. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's not finished with you yet. Tell him, he's not finished with you yet. Some of you, you haven't even started your journey maybe in the faith in Christ. Well, I want you to know, he's not finished yet. Those of you who are veteran saints, who feel like you were born in the church and now you're 90-some years old, he's not finished with you yet. Amen. Some of you who are maybe of that age, regardless of when you came to Christ, you think, well, he must be keeping me around for a purpose. I could have been taken so many times and I haven't, and you know, I'm ready to go, I'm not afraid, I trust him, but you know, I just can't seem to do what I used to do, and I feel like, you know, why is he keeping me around? Well, I got good news for you. He loves you so much, he wants you to be ready. He's making you ready for your groom. Making you ready. Yeah, making you ready. That's what he's doing. He's going to finish you. He's faithful to do it. He's faithful to do it. So, this book is about faith in action, proof in the pudding. And here's the other part that's in there in the book of James. When it talks about our faith being expressed not in words only, but in the way we live, what we do, how we make decisions, how we process hurt, disappointment, conflict, affliction, tough things in this life. It's this. He says, your faith is proven by your deeds, especially in trouble. Amen. See, when things are easy, oh, nothing's agitated me yet today. Nothing's bothered me yet today. Man, I'm feeling pretty holy. I feel like I got a good attitude today. I feel like I'm going to do okay today. And then something happens. 9 o'clock shows up. 10 o'clock, noon. A coworker shows up. A fender bender shows up. Whatever it is. In this life, dead battery. Yeah. Listen, this stuff shows up, and it's in that moment. Will our faith overcome by the way that we respond, not react, The way we respond, is it with the attitude and the outlook that God would have that would display his nature? Now, it's not a sin to get frustrated. But we don't want frustration to lead us to sin. Just like anger. You can be angry, but don't let your anger lead you to sin, right? Anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. We're led by the emotion, the frustration, and all of a sudden we're acting like us instead of like him. And James writes, your faith, it'll be proved by what you do and how you conduct yourself and do these things and how you live and how you express and what comes out of you, right? Especially in the hard things in life or the things that happen in this life that we don't understand or understand yet. It's in that moment where our faith is tested, but the Holy Spirit is our helper. Holy Spirit helps us if we will submit to him. And so James writes this book about practical Christian living, and it's about how we handle life from the basis of a true found faith in Jesus Christ, regardless of storm or not, that we're to be doers of the word, and circumstances do not give us license then to work outside of God's ways and do it our own way, but to continue to function in our life like God desires, putting things in order, right? Helps us. That life, I'm telling you, that life is good. It's not without difficulty. It's not without pain. It's not without temptation. But all of that testing, he overcomes. He overcomes in you and through you as we commit ourselves to being doers of his word and not hearers only. This is not just some general code or code of morality. This is about following Christ. And yes, it is moral and it is good, but we must do it, not just hear about it and not just talk about it, but let our actions, our attitude really display. And some people will never see. It spills out and they can get indication. But you and God need to work this out, Holy Spirit's help, to work this out in the depths of your own heart. Because you and I can cover stuff up pretty good. Some of us are better at it than others, but it's going to seep out somewhere. But it's not about the seeping out. It's about that it exists. Amen. And James says, listen, you do the word of God. You follow him, you transform, you let him change you, even when nobody's looking, right? And so he talks about this kind of life. And in James chapter 1, I'm going to read to you verse 27. And we're jumping in here, okay? But it's all about what I've kind of shared with you this far. So he says this, a religion or your faith, depending on the translation that you read, okay, that faith that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. Visit orphans and widows in their affliction. Now, that's compassion, that's care. It's helping because they don't have necessarily an overseer in their life. Now, we know the Lord is the husband to those who are widows. We know that he is a father to the fatherless, but he likes to put skin on in you and I and have us show up. Amen. Now, I will tell you, that's not complicated. And that's not hard. Doing that is fairly easy. Now, sometimes the circumstance is complicated and can be challenging depending on what's going on in their life. But that is a pretty simple thing. And so it's interesting, I've noticed something over time, that part of the verse gets quoted. It's what we pay kind of the most attention to in that verse. And we kind of fizzle out before James gets done writing. And this is the key verse this morning. So, a religion or faith that's pure and undefiled before God, they visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And, say and. To keep oneself unstained by the world. We leave that part of the verse out. We focus on the, I get to go do this, and we want to go minister to people, and we want to show the love of God, and we want to show compassion, and we want to be generous, and we want to take time. All of it good. But then the word and shows up. And we leave this part of the verse out. I've just kind of noticed it through time. Not that it's not ever acknowledged or talked about, but the only time I really see it talked about is when we read the verse and then we focus on what comes before it. We focus on the action, which, let's face it, in the Christian life, when it comes to those kind of ministries, the action is somewhat easy. The action that's hard has to do with not being corrupted by the world or letting our old self come out or live or dominate us. That's the harder battle. It's easy to stop at Walmart and pick something up and go visit somebody. It's not that hard. Now, sometimes it's difficult to fit in a schedule and all kinds, but, you know, we're a church body. There's many of us who should be able to do this. And be able to do it without big announcement. Just go do it. Right? But this other part, and that if your faith is really pure, you're supposed to keep yourself unstained by the world. I mean, you and I know, you have a general knowledge of the Scripture. You know that God's ways are different than man's ways. You know Jesus' way of life is different than our natural tendencies of how to live. Amen. We know that. You don't even have to be a Christian to understand that. Some just say, I don't want to become a Christian. Oh, man, I've got such a past, and the way I live, oh, no, God would never have me. And all, you know, people, which isn't great theology, but they understand the principle that God's ways are different than my ways. So how do we live this Christian life so that we have a true faith, a pure faith, one that is not adulterated or stained by the world? And he writes all about this, James. You don't have to come with a 32-step action plan. It's good to have a plan. There's probably several steps that we could draw out and teach, but basically he says, listen, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. And in doing the word, we have to maintain this inner change in us. And it says to be, so that we're not stained by the world, or we remain unstained. I want you to know that that is something that says you and I need to be proactive and we need to be preventative. Proaction. It's not like I just wander aimlessly out my door and I just go and do whatever and get stained. You and I, we're supposed to be proactive and be preventative. I don't participate in that, so I don't need to go there. Amen. I need to go here, but I'm uncomfortable here because my carried resentment is going to rise up and be agitated because I'm going to be around this person or these people. We need to be proactive and solve that here so that we can be there and be right before God and conduct ourselves right. See, this is the inward stuff. You know, We can't go about and say, well, I got stained today, so now I'm going to ask forgiveness. Now, should we do that? Absolutely. When we sin, we need to repent. We need to ask for forgiveness. But what about the proactive part of saying, I'm not going to go and sin? Rather than just wandering into stuff and I'll get forgiveness later. I'll ask God to forgive me. What about the preventative action? He says, be unstained. Not go and get stained and then, you know, we'll just continue doing that. Paul writes, God forbid that we just continue in sin. You and I need to be preventative. And it's not just the outward stuff that gets our attention. It's this inward thing here, this inside. Psalm 24, the psalmist writes something interesting here, and this wouldn't be strange to everybody's ears, but it says this in Psalm 24, verse 4 through 6. He says this, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek God, who seek the face of God, the God of Jacob. Amen. Say it, clean hands, clean hands. Pure heart. I had to pull apart my log splitter the other day. By the way, this was one of Sue's dish towels. A long time ago. This isn't just from the other day. This has a great smell. It's motor oil, grease, a little bit of spray paint. No, I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. Okay. I'm messing with you. And just, I don't know, dirt. Whatever else. So I took some time, did some projects at home and tore my log splitter apart and put some of that back together. It ran. No spare parts. Woohoo! That's always a good sign, right? Had to do some spray painting touch up on something else. And then I was going on to the next project. Well, the next project I could not do with dirty hands. I mean, they were black and greasy and all that stuff from the project. So I took my rag in the garage. Joe and I went over to a gas can. Poured a little on the rag, poured some in my hand. I start. You have a dish towel that looks like this? You wouldn't know. Rock does it. I'm messing with you. Oh, he might, I don't know. Rock's her husband. Good dude. Start doing this. I'll scrub a little more. Then he had to get out the little brush. Right? Yeah. Clean hands. You want clean hands. Dr. Dennis guy here. Yeah, let me take a look in your mouth there. Clean hands. Took a little scrubbing. Here's the thing. For that to happen, I had to stop what I was doing.
That's good.
Amen. To clean my hands. That's the outward, the physical stuff. What we put our hands to in this life. Give me clean hands. not dedicated to vile things. My hands would not do misconduct in the sight of God. Then he writes, so Lord, help me. Give me clean hands. Give me a pure heart. See, this is the harder thing. Because our heart, you know, it's not, and when I say heart, I don't mean our physical heart, our inmost being, the core of our soul, where we feel, where we think, where we make decisions, where we contemplate things, where we play conversations over, or we have conversations that, you know, what we would say if, and then, or whatever it is, or why we hurt, or why we're angry, or, you know, questions about our history and our life and what was done to us and the result of feelings and thoughts and attitudes that develop over time. See, it's that place. That's the heart. And he says, give me clean hands. Give me a pure heart. James is talking about not be just a, you know, a hearer of the word, but a doer, being transformed to do what is the will of God in our life. That person would be blessed. See, when it comes to the heart, the soul, it's interesting. You know, we can know we have a wrong attitude, it's not great in the sight of the Lord, or we said something we shouldn't have said and we're carrying guilt, or whatever we did, or we've got this motive, or we deceived somebody so that they wouldn't see the real us and we wanted to look right because after all we profess Jesus, and yet inside this scheming goes on. It's like we worked them and we got away with it, and we, however you do your dealings, that stuff that's in there. It's interesting when we feel a conviction about it, because we know that we can call on God anytime, anywhere, you know, it's just any place in our life. He's always present in the times of trouble. We call out to him and, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I know this is going on in me. And sometimes we try to do this apology to God, but, you know, it just really turns into an explanation of why I did this, to kind of justify it in your sight, Lord. And he sees all that. The interesting thing is, when we do that stuff, we usually do it on the fly. Because life's going on around us. We're busy. And I love the convenience and the presence of God in our life, that we can go to him anytime, anywhere, any place, and talk about this and get this. But many times we just kind of do this and we try to, yeah, I'm sorry, and I got to change that. I need your help. And then the kids come in, or the spouse comes in, or you're in the middle of a project, or you get a phone call, or you know, life happens all the time. The key to getting my hands clean was I had to stop what I was doing. And when it comes to the internal things, it's like we do it on the fly. Say the word stop. The inside things, let us learn something from the physical and help it be transcribed and applied, the understanding that when this stuff goes on, that I need to take a moment somewhere and stop and scrub my soul like I do my hands. Because sometimes we're sincere, but we do it on the fly, but it's like a little dabble do you. There's no transformation, no change. There's a little, I'm sorry, feel some guilt, feel a twinge. And that can produce something good, not guilt, but produce us to repent and change. But that's not just some quick conversation with God. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Like you walk through the kitchen and, you know, your kid says, oh, yeah, sorry about that. And you go, yeah, sorry. Okay, whatever. Thanks for the words. But there's no change. There's no sincerity. It's when they come and say, can I talk to you for a minute? And you go, yeah. And they begin to express sincerely, I did this and I'm really sorry. I didn't do what you said, or I did this differently, or whatever. And there's this stopping that gives room for genuine repentance and change to be made clean. We just do it on the fly. And sometimes on the fly is not deep enough for the seeds of transformation to really start to sprout and take root and to pop up with new fruit, right? Clean hands, a pure heart. That our proclamation wouldn't be just words and we can quote scripture, but that my life, your life, our life, would actually look like his word and his way because we take time to be clean and not be stained by the world. I don't know, maybe it's a recreation, maybe it's entertainment for you. To be stained by the world, maybe it's the counsel of some close friends that really is not biblical peer counsel. They just care about you and they're on your side, and so you build this team and they speak into your ear and you start to think, yeah, that's right. Yeah, God wouldn't want me to suffer or feel this or go through. And so we get stained in our soul. Some of our past has stained our soul, and we need to go get that unstained. We need that stain removed because we are not functioning fully as God intends. And so we have this emotional, mental attitude limp as we go through life, and we're just used to the way we walk now. Clean hands, pure heart. Doer of the word, not just a hearer. It's more than just some moral idea. It's about the transformation inside. Unstained. Let me ask you something. If we were all to sit here, you okay with me sitting here, Ava?
Yeah.
Thanks. If we were to bring up your Instagram page up here, or your Facebook page, or your dating profile, other than the obvious that you lied about your age, we what if we brought that stuff up here and you had to sit here in the room? What about the history of your photos? What about the way you're dressed? What about the activities that you said you went to and what you did there? All while in the side column you're talking about Jesus. Would it look tarnished? Would it look stained by the world? Would it show that you're infatuated with the world? That you love the world? You have a passion for the world, the things of the world. You see, all this impacts us. And here's the thing. I'm pretty safe in saying this because I know a lot of you. you're probably not going to go rob a bank. And you're not going to, you know, probably grab your gun and go murder somebody later today. You better not. But the world and its ways, they seep in. Little by little, Ava. Seep in. You're a beautiful young lady. Not embarrassing, I'm just telling you, you're a beautiful young lady. And I like who you are. I get snapshots of who you are. I like you. But you dress appropriately. At least today. I don't know, I don't remember other stuff. But you're pretty without showing stuff you shouldn't. God loves that. You look nice, you're attractive, but your character and your faith is what's really attractive. Amen. And it's not that you're perfect, because I know, you live with her. Oh, some moments, she's a really, you know, rotten kid. No. Listen, what if we were to bring that stuff? I mean, would it show stains? It's your stain, your soul's stained. It's not that you can't have a nice boat or you can't go to the water park or... But your soul gets revealed on that page. That's nobody's business. Tell them to stop judging me. I'll tell you what, they'd stop judging you when you start judging yourself. Amen. It's a scripture. Stand to your feet, please. This rag has remnants, and I have other rags. Some of them, they're just black and brown, and you don't know what color it started as. This is just the stuff over time from my car and motors and dirt and my hands and projects and all that kind of stuff. If I could show you a physical rag of the one that I have to scrub my soul with, it'd be black. His blood washes us clean, makes us white as snow. It gives us a fresh start. Amen. When our faith is sincere, will you and I be a doer of the word and not just show ministry of compassion and kindness to widows and orphans and children and strangers and families and everybody? Will we do the last part of the verse, and remain unstained by this world? Because it corrupts our soul, and over time, little by little, we get lost. And yet we're proclaiming this stuff. But it is not well done. Stop. Sit down somewhere and get out the soulish rag with the blood of Christ and say, I allow myself to be stained. And you call me to be unstained by the world because these stains, they don't help me, and I don't shine as brightly in my faith as I think I do. So this is two steps. I want you to stop, and I want you to reevaluate. Bring up your life like an Instagram page or a Facebook page or a, I don't know, whatever page. Because it's just not you in the picture. It's all the stuff around you. And sometimes it's the opinion that comes out of you. And you think you're doing God a favor by shining a light real bright. And yet there's stuff in your image and what you're wearing or not wearing or opinion stated or whatever it is. And we need to stop. And how stained by the world am I? That it seeped into my soul and I didn't even know it. I didn't even know. Or we get our mind caught on comparison with somebody else's page who goes to church or somebody else and what they wear and what they do or how they deal with stuff or what they think, or they walked with the Lord longer, so therefore their counsel has to be absolutely best. You know what I'm going to say. Here's the standard, not your neighbor. He loves you so much. He wants you to stay clean. He wants you to come clean. I didn't show up with a new rag from Walmart, because you'd think he doesn't know what he's talking about, right? It's like showing up with brand new boots at the job site. You got to beat them up and bust them up so they look like they've been used, right? Well, this has been used. It's authentic. It's genuine. Sorry. My nose is... Hey, I wipe my face with this in the... Whatever. I do in the garage. I... Whatever. Thought I was... It just made me feel at home. I just... You know. Yeah. Listen. Stop. Reevaluate. It's nice that you're doing good things for people. Whether they're widows or orphans or whoever. But what about you and I? Being proactive so that we could be unstained by the world. 1 John chapter 2 and 5 talk about it. You believers, if you love the world, then the love of God is not in you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.